Welcome to Anime Afterlife Podcast. I'm your host, Dave the Zombie, and our co-host, Vincito.
Hello.
And our manga specialist, King of Hearts.
Hola.
And our two guests this week, Asian Sensation.
Hello.
And Lurkst.
Hey guys.
Alright, let's get to the news.
Hey Lurkst, what's your real name?
Stefan.
Oh, okay. Well, saying yeah. Lurkst is a lot easier than I hear Lurkst. All right.
Doesn't matter.
There is a lot of awesome news today, and I'm pretty happy about it.
Uh-oh.
Wait, really quick, does anyone have anything they want to say about news before?
I do.
I kind of want to mention one thing real quick.
Asian does.
All right. Say what you guys say.
Lars, you can go first.
Golden Boy manga is getting a new
series. You motherfucker! I was going to say that too! Okay. That's one good thing out of the way. I think we're okay now. Apparently, after 13 years, they're going to bring back Golden Boy and call it... I think they're calling it Golden Boy 2. I don't know any other confirmation on the title, but that's awesome. King says... What?
You guys have not read...
I know, okay, but it's a manga that's been gone for 13 years and it's coming back.
Doesn't matter. See, the point is, you guys are excited about this, yet you haven't read any of the... You might have read, like, maybe...
Since it's coming out, I'm gonna read the rest of the Golden Boy manga.
And you're gonna see how inappropriate it is. It's like it's almost considered an H, I would say.
It's borderline.
It's pretty bad. It is pretty bad.
You only see like boobies every now and then.
You don't watch the anime, Dave.
I have.
You gotta watch the dubbed anime, because that's hilarious.
Indeed. No,
you have to It is.
Was I the only one there?
The arc that they are on right now, that the Scandalators are on, in Golden Boy, the first season, is about a girl who's... I can't even say it right. They call her Piss, like the Golden Piss or something like that. She just finished...
What?
RP. Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
I hear it gets pretty bad as like right where the anime ends in the manga, like right where it ends, it starts getting really bad.
It starts getting really bad, really inappropriate.
All right. Well, that's big news, even if King doesn't agree with it.
Says it isn't.
Yeah. And what about you, Asian? You got anything?
Uh huh. If anyone else is reading Capellion, I'm not really sure if anyone else, except for me, knows about it, but. Huh?
I don't think anyone knows about that.
No, probably not. But if you are reading it, then an anime adaptation has been greenlit, as said on Anime News Network.
Cool.
You ready for that?
King, you got something?
Sure. So it turns out that Funimation has picked up the Disgaea series, the anime. If you play the game, I'm sure that you'll see that you'll say it's not as good as the main, you know, the game. They cut out a lot of stuff. They change a lot of stuff, but I guess it's still interesting.
Is it kind of like the Persona Trinity Soul anime to the Persona
3? No, that's worse. That's way worse than what it's based off of. But this guy anime, it kind of follows the plot, but, you know, changes here and there.
Sweet.
Mention one quick thing. More along the lines of like Japanese TV, that they're gonna be making a live action Yakuza series.
Yakuza?
Yeah, woo! Yakuza is going to be getting a live action series.
Actually, there's a lot of things getting a live action. That's one of the things is what's it called? These mangas, I think Detective Puppy, Hayate the Combat Butler, Skip Beat, Itazura and a Kiss, and Meteor Garden are all getting TV live action series made off of them, which is pretty cool.
How are they going to do
a lot of live actions?
How are they going to do Hayate though?
I don't know. I just saw it, so I'm like, okay.
But I think it's kind of interesting that they take a video game and make it into a live-action TV show.
Well, they do it with anime a lot, too.
Yeah. I don't know, I just thought I'd bring that up. thought it was interesting.
They've also shown some promos for the Iron Man anime there.
Yeah, I know. I saw that too. I didn't see the promo, but I saw the news about it.
That should be interesting.
That's going to be airing on G4, isn't it?
Is it?
Along with the other two. I think one's the X-Men anime? I'm not sure, really. There's a Wolverine one, I think. I don't know anymore. I forgot to check. But there's going to be like three American comic spinoff animes believed to be aired on G4 in the near future. I don't know when, though.
But like, yeah. They need more programming.
Exactly. Anyway, I'm going to get to my news for this week. Aside from the live-action series coming out, there's also this actual Studio Ghibli tour that opened up from what's it called? Digital Manga Publishing's tour company, Pop Japan Travel. And it covers like 700 miles of Japan. And it like features like places that inspired like scenes from certain like Miyazaki movies, like Princess Mononoke, My Neighbor Totoro, and Ponyo. They have like, what's it called? The town of Tomonora, or I think that's how you say it. That was actually put into Ponyo, and they have like a lot of places along the tour that are I can't actually read this one. Anyway, they have places from they have a certain place that inspired a scene from My Neighbor Totoro and Princess Mononoke both, which is pretty cool. And they also stopped by the Ghibli Museum, which is awesome. So I don't know if you're in Japan, like. Maybe Raccoon Boy is right now. Maybe he can go on it or something.
That's pretty cool.
Something you'd want to go on, Dave?
Yeah, the stuff in Studio Ghibli's movies is like pretty good.
Well, it's only Miyazaki. It's mainly Miyazaki. Places that he inspired him to put in like his films, kind of. I guess.
Yeah, you won't see anything from Grave of the Fireflies.
No.
Yeah.
Possibly not.
Huh.
The other news is that Beelzebub, the manga, is getting an anime in January, and I'm super damn excited for this shit, because I love Beelzebub. It's awesome. And stuff. What else? Oh, yeah. Dave, did you're still keeping up with Mitsudo Moe, right? The anime?
Yeah.
Apparently, they're gonna have a, what's it called? A second season of it after the first season ends. They're not going to do it right away. They're going to go on hiatus for like another quarter of a year, another season. And then they're going to come back with the second season. So that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty
good show.
I like Mitsudo. It's funny. King doesn't though, I don't think. And the biggest news of all, I think Dave will love this because I know he's a giant fan of everything this guy does. They just announced three English voice actors for the Durarara anime. And one of them is going to be Johnny Young Bosch, who plays Isaiah. I am super excited because he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would be in that role at all. I can't imagine Isaiah's voice with, you know, Johnny Young Bosch. I just don't know.
Johnny Young Bosch works for some characters. However, he doesn't work for certain ones. He just doesn't fit the role.
How do you feel about this, Dave?
I don't know. I kind of wish it was someone else.
You just disappoint me left and right.
I know.
Other voice actors that were announced were Michelle Ruff as Henri and Bryce Papenbrook as Kida. So, yeah. Durarara is getting English dub, to my surprise. I never thought that it would. Which is pretty cool. Hopefully it's as good as, you know, Bacano's dub, which was awesome.
Who's doing the dub, Funimation?
It's Aniplex, I think. Anyway, yeah, that's all I got for news.
Alright.
So, yeah.
Then let's move on to what are you watching or reading. Let's go to Lurkst.
Alrighty. I've just recently finished up two animes just recently. One of them being Clannad.
Clannad.
Yeah, I actually finished that right before this podcast.
Wait, and the original or?
After yeah, the original. Story. I haven't watched After Story yet.
Yeah, we're in this together. Neither have I.
I'm probably gonna watch that later, probably sometime next week. I don't know, but yeah, I really liked Clannad. It was very, very interesting. The only thing I didn't like about it was the whole Fuko.
What?
Like
no,
I didn't, no.
What I are did, you saying, Lurk?
No, I liked the whole story that they centered around Fuko in the beginning, but the whole part of her just jumping in.
No, that is what saved the anime for me.
What?
That's the redeeming factor to that show was Fuko coming in every now and then.
The thing that I most enjoyed about that whole anime was the Kotomi, whole part about Kotomi.
I didn't see the appeal for Kotomi. I thought
really?
She was very... I don't
I thought she was
adorable. But I thought she was very slow, and it was very hard.
She's not.
Her conversations lasted a long time for me. And it took forever for her to get to say something.
You have to empathize.
I thought she was adorable in that anime.
I thought she was pretty good, but I'm not a giant fan of hers. Not like Fuko.
I don't know. Just I like the whole Fuko starting story about like her just jumping in the middle of it. Just like I thought it was kind of funny, but it just, at the same time, it just felt out of place.
She's the pinball wizard of Crane Games.
She's the pinball wizard.
How can you not love her?
It's not that I don't love her. I just felt it was a little out of place.
She did Thriller Dance, man. Thriller Dance. This is the greatest thing ever. Okay.
Alright. Then the second one that I just finished up is Strawberry Panic.
Oh, I heard about that.
That actually, I got a... Gabe made a recommendation about that for the Japan cast, and I read the description that he posted about that, and I, you know, it seemed really interesting, and so I started watching it, and I fell in love with this anime so much. Not because of all the, you know,
really?
Yuri that's constantly in it, but I just liked how, you know, there were so many different relationships in the whole entire anime, but yet it still was able to focus around the relationship with Nagisa and Shizuma. Hmm. But yeah, I really did like this a lot. Like when I first started watching it, I spent like 3 days and just constantly watched it, just through and through. Didn't even
do
anything else.
How old are the characters in that show?
That's a good question.
I remember seeing something that I think was Strawberry Panic, and they looked like they were like sixth grade,
a little.
Maybe a little younger.
Some kind of look that way. I think they might have been a little under the age, but I don't think they actually did any Yuri scenes with those characters, though.
Ah, I see.
I don't. I know that they did. I don't even want to spoil it, but yeah, I think all the Yuri scenes in that were of age characters, so to speak.
I don't really mind about the age. I'm just saying that kind of weird romance story about 12-year-olds or 11-year-olds kind of, you know, different than what I'm used to in romances.
Yeah, that and every character in this whole entire anime is a chick. The next one I'm gonna talk about that I'm halfway through is Bakano.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, this I'm actually really, really enjoying this anime. Like I don't it's just crazy good.
I heard Dave object back there about it.
What?
Do you have something to say about it, Dave?
No. I'm just surprised he said Bakano.
You didn't know he was watching it?
No. I'm surprised.
I don't think anyone knows what I'm watching.
It's an obscure show. Not many people know about it.
It's not that obscure.
Yes, well,
It just doesn't get talked about as much as
yeah. Needs to be. But it's really good. I recommend this to anybody. I'm already halfway through it, and I'm just loving it.
Can you follow the story?
Oh yeah, a little bit. Bacano, it just jumps around a lot, and like it jumps around a lot, and the start of it's kind of just I don't know. Does that? Well, I don't want to bring that up, but I don't know. The beginning of it kind of starts off kind of weird with Carol and the vice president, and then it just kind of just jumps into everything, and I don't know. It's just so hard. Vincent, you want to help me out with this? Because I know you've seen it.
I actually just recently rewatched it, and it's a lot easier to follow if you've watched it more than once. But like the first time through, it gets really confusing at times because they do this thing with the dates where they show like sometimes they'd show like which date they flash like the day on the screen like 1990
yeah like a year
31 yeah and stuff like that. But sometimes it's really hard to keep track of what happens at what time, what's happening at what time. But you start to get the hang of it, and you start piecing together. Near the end, you'll piece together everything. It's pretty easy.
Because, like, everything's all tied together, and I can kind of tell all of that. But, yeah, it just jumps around a lot with the setting and everything. But it's... I don't know, man. Russo Lod, man. That dude's crazy.
Russo is fucking awesome.
Dude, he's so crazy, man. I laugh so hard when he's, like, skipping down the hallway on the train. And he's like, what is that, machine guns? Oh, machine guns.
Are you watching it in English? Or are you watching it in English or...
Yeah, I'm watching it in English.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I'm not watching... I'm watching the dubbed version.
The dub is amazing.
Yeah, it's really well done.
One of the best dubs.
Who does the dub version for Bacana?
What do you mean? I think I think it was Funimation. They licensed it.
I didn't like the dubs that much, to be honest.
What?
What?
It was not. They didn't fit the characters.
Yeah, Funimation.
I thought they fit them really well.
Yeah.
The voice for the main character in Suzuka did Fiero's voice, and ever since then.
Although I will say that I think
he's done Fiero.
I think Jacuzzi's voice is kind of annoying.
Jacuzzi was annoying in the Japanese dub. It doesn't even matter.
Really?
He's tolerable. Okay.
He's an annoying character, but he does really awesome things.
Well, I mean, he's a really annoying character, but I think his voice actually kind of fits him kind of well because his voice is annoying. So, I don't know. It kind of fits in well.
I don't know. Everyone has their own opinions on these dubs, Dave.
Yeah. Right. But yeah, that I'm really enjoying it. I think I'm gonna like watch a few more episodes of that after this. Because it's just so cool what goes on in there. A lot of that's just amazing. And then, I know we're supposed to keep it to three, but I just want to mention this last one really, really quickly. I'm watching Durarara, and all I have to say about it is watching the very starting this anime was like watching Foolie Cooley for the first time. Because I don't know what the hell's going on, but I just want to keep watching it because it's really, really awesome.
You won't get the Bacano references if you don't finish Bacano before starting the road.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna finish Bacano first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna finish that first.
Well, they're not references; more of just like background
stuff. Don't spoil it for him.
The first episode has like the screenshot of Bacano at the movie theater and stuff.
Yeah, but like when you get to a certain point, you're all giddy and excited because you see that thing happening. You know, that certain point.
What are you talking about, Dave?
Are you talking about
Bacano or Durarara?
I'm talking about Durarara. You know?
Trying to keep it spoiler-free.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right.
That giddy. But I gotta say, there are some references to it later.
Dude, it's you're not like jumping up and down every like when you.
Okay. Well, it was. Oh, I know what you mean now. That was awesome.
Exactly. I
didn't say it, though. Vincija gets excited about his.
It was pretty exciting. One of my all time favorite episodes.
Yeah, Durarara's really, really awesome. episode.
How far are you?
There's, episode 7. Oh, like I said, I'm not that far into it.
Far.
Huh?
Finish Bacano before you go any farther.
Are you talking about Bacano or Durarara?
Finish Bacano.
Oh, I'm literally halfway through it. I'm at like episode 8. I've just finished episode 8.
Oh, and you're okay. You just keep watching.
And, yeah. I think I got to... I don't really know. I'd probably have to rewatch episode 8 just to figure out where I'm at. But yeah, that's what I've been watching. I've been, you know, enjoying all of them. They're great. I recommend any of those 4 animes to anybody, to be honest.
I guess it's Asian's turn.
Yes, let's move to Asian.
Oh, okay.
Sleeping there, Asian?
No, I took a shower.
Oh, wow.
It's fucking hot.
Okay.
The shower, I mean.
Hot showers.
All cleaned and ready to go, then.
Okay, where should I start? Okay, first off, should I just list out everything I'm watching or one at a time?
Just go with one at a time.
Okay.
It would be better that way.
I guess what I'm really watching right now is High School of the Dead. I think we all know what that is.
Ew.
As it stands, it's probably the anime with the most diverging opinions for summer.
Summer,
for summer, not of all time, but for now. I don't really think it's fair to say it's bad, because it's really the first of its kind. I mean, there's no other zombie apocalypse animes in the world right yet.
Well, there's a zombie apocalypse mangas I've read before, like Deadheads, I can't really remember anymore. I don't know, Sankurai is not really a zombie.
No, that's not.
But it has zombies in it.
Well, for an anime to focus on it.
Oh, Biomega. I think that
is that. Zombies.
I don't know. I can't remember Biomega that well. But anyway, go on.
It's really a new precedent, so it's not really fair to, you know, say this is really bad or, you know, anything else like that, because it's new. And it's something that not many people have worked on yet. As itself, compared to the manga, I think it's doing really well. I just wish they didn't make it, 12 episodes only?
Well, the thing is that the manga has a problem with releasing, or maybe it's just the scanlators. Like, the people were... You told me earlier, right? Scanning it.
They're done scanlating because they licensed it in America.
Yeah, so, like, and before, when they were scanlating, I would only see, like, a chapter every maybe 3 months or maybe even more.
It's really slow.
It's really hard to get, like, keep up with. And I think the anime would completely lap the manga if it was kind of go even any farther than 12 episodes.
Probably. But if it were to follow the manga, even if it doesn't right now, it's doing really well. A lot of people complain about the fan service that is around every corner, left and right. Myself, my opinion, I don't really care. I know you don't, Vincito.
I don't really care either.
Yeah. You know, it's not really necessary, but it's there. What are you going to do about it? I just look past it. So, that's High School of the Dead for now.
Well, I think it gets more praise than you lead on, though. I mean, it's ranked really high on Mal, but I think in order to let an anime or anything to get, like, a solid, like, standing on how it's being viewed, it takes about maybe a couple years of...
I'm just sick of everybody raving about it.
Well, yeah, it does get overly praised since... Well, a lot of new animes get overly praised. I mean, Kiss X Sis, which Dave and me probably... I don't know, Dave, how do you feel about Kiss X Sis now?
I don't really, like, have a strong hate for it, but I just don't like it.
It's kind of
brainless.
I can't remember one good thing from that anime.
In itself, I think it's a pretty amateur romance story, but, what was I about to say? I just had something. Never mind. Forget it.
brainless, stupid.
Yeah, it's kind of brainless. Like, there's really no point. I think it's all right.
And the girl pisses everywhere.
That's why.
What?
There's a girl that just every time she's on screen, she's either pissing or getting groped.
Yeah, that was hot. Wait, who said that?
What? My
biggest problem with that show is the guy, his whiny ass voice. That's the biggest problem.
I hate the main character. I think he's somewhere in my all time hated main characters. It's not because of his voice though. It's because of how stupid he is.
No, it is his voice. He's the whiniest ass voice ever.
But he's
not touching my dick. What are you doing?
He's just a generally stupid character that makes poor decisions. And they're not normal poor decisions. They're terrible decisions that anyone with a half a brain could pick a better situation.
Not in the OVA. I probably would have done everything he did.
Well, the OVA was a lot better than this TV series, to be honest, which is weird. But yeah, enough going off on a tangent. Anyway, that show, I've actually heard people say that's their favorite anime of all time. And
what?
It's Kiss X Sis. And I think it's mostly because nowadays people actually follow anime, which was almost impossible a few years ago. Like, they can follow seasons of anime when they're not actually watching them in, like, over where you can get anime channels. And it's remarkable how even mediocre or shitty anime that comes out these days, like Master of Martial Arts, can get, like, a lot of praise. Like, Master of Martial Arts gets, like, boosted by Funimation. Like, I've seen ads for it, like, constantly on their site. And it is a terrible anime, but I gotta say that, I'm sorry, but it's like, I don't know, it's just this generation, you know? It's not this generation. Nowadays, things are a little different. And it takes
a
little
time. I think we've gone a little bit too far off.
Yeah, but I had to bring that up somehow. Okay. It's excess.
Alright, so, are you watching or reading anything else, Gabe?
Yeah, I'm definitely reading Negima. Anything and Everything, Negima, that's still running. I think I could call it my favorite manga so far, you know, out of everything I've read. I haven't really read that much, but this is one good manga if you haven't already read it. If you're familiar with Love Hina, then if you like that, you'll definitely like this.
King read this too, right?
Yeah, I started reading it.
But how do you like
not
it?
Not really. Yeah.
You don't like it?
Oh, can't get into it.
I can't get into it. No.
But you but wasn't Love Hina like one of your favorite or whatever? I thought it was like
my favorite what?
Your first or favorite mangas.
No. But I did like it.
Never mind. Okay. Sorry about that.
I think Ken Akamatsu, the author, writer, whatever you want to call it. There's 31 characters in this manga. I think he does a really good job of keeping up with most of the characters. I mean, there's 31. Can't really blame him if he can't keep up character development for all of them. But so far, he's done a really good job at keeping his pace with the characters and the story itself. The story, it's going in a pretty nice direction as far as a magical world goes. There's not much else I can say about it. If you're going to watch a manga off of this, if you're going to watch an anime off of this, I wouldn't recommend watching the direct anime adaptation. I would just watch the OVAs because that anime.
You mean
really...
the Negima exclamation point question mark?
No, that's the season 2. I'm talking about the OVAs where they make it based off of chapters 173 to 184 or something like that. They have like 6 of them.
Wait, that's the second season. I just started watching that. What the heck?
The one with the question mark?
The one with the question mark.
Yeah, that's like a remake.
Oh, a remake. I thought you said, you said second season.
Did I? Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a remake. Okay. If you want to watch an anime, you can watch the remake or the OVAs. I made a post on it on the 4Player Podcast forums.
Awesome.
But anyway, that's Negima. Lastly, I'm watching a lot, but I guess I'm going to say this one. I'm watching Okami-san. It's short for Okami-san to Sichinin no Nakamatachi.
Long seven companions.
Yeah, Okami-san and her seven companions. This is a pretty unique anime. I don't know if this is going to work. It's original by being unoriginal because it gets every character and most of the scenarios are taken from fables, fairy tales from Japan, English, American, and they make them into characters and they put them in this anime. And at first, I thought it was a little stupid, but now that I watch it, it's pretty cool. It's a fun anime. Right now, they're not focusing on the main storyline. They're just making these random arbitrary episodes. They're fun to watch. Anyone else watching this? Or is it just me?
Me and David watching.
Or just you.
I was kind of disappointed after the first episode. I could tell like the first episode was doing a Cinderella kind of thing. But yeah, I don't know what other
Cinderella
fables. Yeah.
They kind of did.
I don't even think it's Cinderella from.
Did you watch after the credits?
Sometimes I don't watch the credits of any anime.
Did you watch after the credits?
On which episode?
First one.
No.
Because it's like straight up Cinderella.
Really?
Yeah.
Crap. Well, I'll go back and rewatch every episode and see what's after the credits now.
Yeah.
But I mean, what other fables were they doing?
There's Little Red Riding Hood.
There's three characters from Little Red Riding Hood. They made the little red-haired girl ride it, Little Red Riding Hood. The girl is the wolf. The guy is the hunter who kills the wolf. Or does he kill the wolf? He cuts him open. He takes the grandma outside out of him.
Do that? That's pretty graphic for a children's fairy
tale. The Mother Goose version. The Mother Goose version that everyone's familiar with, where he just puts her in a closet and he gets her out. That's like the censored, I guess. But the original, the wolf eats her and he cuts
her. I remember the wolf eats her and then he takes over her he takes over her personality. I read that one, but like I don't remember him slicing him open and taking her out.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened.
I remember actually a version of it where it's like he actually takes an axe to the wolf.
Yeah, he does. That's what I read too.
Whatever happened.
The graphic nature of like cutting him open and everything. She's like, oh, he has an axe, and then he hit the wolf and she popped
and then
out.
He filled him with rocks and put him in the ocean, didn't he?
He put rocks.
How did the grandma survive inside the wolf, by the way? I mean, there's stomach acid and all that jazz.
You guys are overanalyzing a fairy tale.
Sorry. Alright, go on.
Yeah. Not just Little Red Riding Hood, they have Urashima Taro, if anyone's heard of that. Dude who goes under the ocean, then he goes 300 years into the future. They have the grasshopper and the ant. I don't think any of you heard of that.
No.
I think I have.
Alright, so basically the fairy tales.
Mm-hmm.
When did that happen, Okami-san?
Yeah, when did the guy go underwater and get 300 years older in Okami-san?
No, they're basing it off of the characters. Like, there's another one.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, like there's another one. It's about a crane who repays favors to the guy who saved her. And in the anime, it's a maid who has a fetish.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
I know that.
Yeah, so...
Which person is the 300-year-old guy?
You ever see the gray-haired guy who hates all men, but he's a womanizer?
Oh, yeah, that's him?
Uh-huh. The girl who's always on top of him, she's the turtle, hence the nickname that
and
the kid
gave her. And the other girl's the hair, right?
Yeah, the pink-haired girl. And what's funny is she's based off of the turtle, but when she was younger, when she was fat, everyone nicknamed her Turtle.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it ties in. So that's basically it.
It's basically really good descriptions for each character.
Yeah. That's what I meant by being original, by being unoriginal. No one else has done it by basing it off of fairy tales and fables.
That's kind of cool. I thought they were just doing.
Never actually thought about it.
No, it's much more. It's really good once you watch it. I mean, it's funny. It's pretty funny, I have to admit.
I like the cameos they put on him, so I'm not going to say where, but there's an episode with a lot of cameos in it. It's pretty funny.
Oh, and in the ending sequence, you know how King explained how the grasshopper dies? In the ending sequence, the cousins, the ones who represent the end, the grasshopper, the cousin, he's playing a violin. And the girl, who's the aunt, she's like working on a computer, and then snow starts falling on the guy, and he gets buried, and then they show the girl underground on her computer again by a chimney with a fire.
So this is a graphic anime, basically.
No. It just has slight references based on their characters.
Yeah, if you watch it, you'll completely understand what I mean. They didn't actually kill off the boy by drowning him in snow. Mm-hmm. So seriously, you know, try it out. If you don't like it, then what can I tell you?
It gets some interesting ideas.
All right.
So that's what I'm watching next.
King, do you have anything?
It's been, I don't know, I haven't been really watching or anything. So I decided that I would go back and reread Yotsuba.
Oh my god. I'm sorry. This is like, what, the 15th time you've done this?
Yotsuba is just the funniest thing you've ever seen. If you ever read it, it's so funny. Yotsuba. It's basically about a little girl and her father. They moved off to a new town, you know. And you just get to see how their life is, basically, being a single father. And the girl is a weirdo, as they put it.
Weirdo? I was like that when I was five, probably.
I think we all were when we were five.
It kind of reminds you of when you were a child, doesn't it? It has all those adventures you went on and stuff.
Yeah, it really does. I watch it. When I read it, I just think about my childhood. So that's what I've been reading.
All right, let's move to Ben.
I haven't been watching anything that I really want to talk about. I caught up on High School of the Dead, but I kind of don't really want to talk about it. I have mixed feelings for it. So I'm going to talk about three mangas that I've been reading. And one of them, I feel really strongly about all of them, but one of them in particular, I'm just going to talk a little bit about Beelzebub. There's a lot of mangas that have to do with schools about, you know, full of delinquents. I think King's at least read a few of these. And there's usually the main character is either really weak or really strong. And in this case, he's like the main character, Oga Tatsumi, is like the strongest guy in the entire, like, I think he's the strongest guy in the world, maybe. But he's this like demonic dude who just like plants people into walls head first and plants people into the ground and like everything that you can imagine a delinquent would do to people. And someday when he's, you know, bullying people near a river, he decides to do laundry with one guy by shaking him over the river and washing him underwards. And coming down the river drifts this Freddie Mercury lookalike, big muscular guy. He kind of looks like Freddie from Cromartie High School, if you've ever seen that. But like, he comes down the river and all of a sudden he washes ashore and he has all these arrows in his back and stuff. And he opens, for some reason, he splits in half and a baby comes out of him. And the baby is like Beelzebub, who's like the son of the demon king from the underworld.
Wait, so this came from like the Freddie Mercury lookalike?
Yeah, open inside the Freddie Mercury lookalike. So there's this Freddie Mercury lookalike. He drifts down the river. He splits open. Out pops a baby. Voila, the baby is the demon, like, the demon king's son, Beelzebub. And he has this, like, supernatural power to create, like, links with human beings to, like, grow up and to be a true demon king. He needs to practice using his, like, demon powers and stuff. But to do that, he needs, like, a human host, kind of like, they reference using, like, electricity needs like electrical wires to be able, or like metal or anything to conduct it. Along, like, for some reason, this makes, I don't know if it makes sense, but like the main character is now like the most godly, devil-y thing ever. And he basically stomps like everyone in his path throughout the whole manga. I'm not going to say if he ever like comes across any people that actually beat him, but he's just this awesome guy, and he's kick ass and stuff, and he kicks people's bums, and it's cool and awesome. And they have a girl in gothic clothing with big boobs. It's just great. Anyway, that's Beelzebub. And the other thing I really want to talk about is the Folikuli manga, which I recently completed.
Folikuli.
But, like, it's weird. It's not what I expected. The art style is really funky, and it has things that weren't in the anime, and, like, it's a lot different from the anime. It doesn't follow. I think it was made afterwards, and it really shows. But they have references to, like, Eva at one point, and they have like a ton of new stuff that actually pieces together some of the story from the anime that if you didn't get it, and it really opens up a lot of windows for like discussing what actually happened in Folikuli, which was pretty cool. I thought
there's only one word that can describe the manga.
What?
Folikuli. That's how you describe it. Didn't they do that in the anime?
No, they never said that in the manga. I actually thought the manga would be more like the manga panels in the anime, like what they
did. Yeah, like how they switched to manga whenever. Yeah,
whenever they went to dinner, he like walks in. It's like,
I thought it'd be more like that.
He's like, "Stop doing this! It costs too much money."
And the last actually thing I want to talk about is really depressing for me. It's called Chisa X Pawn. It's a romance manga that's heavily character focused. And it's a lot. It has a heavy thing on sex. Like almost every page has something to do with sex.
I'm reading this. They think
about it constantly and talk about it constantly. But it, for some reason, it has. I thought it was pretty hard to read at first, but after I got done reading the only chapters that were out, which were 6 chapters, I had this feeling like I want to read more. And it's really depressing that the Scandalators actually dropped this 2 years ago. And no one's picked it up so far, and it's been completed for a long ass time, but like I am very depressed about this because I really want to read what's gonna happen. I'm reading it right now. I have to have it translated. I can't do that. My brain does not work like that. I would donate money to anybody that actually picks up this manga and translates the rest of it. I would donate however much I can. Anyway, that's what I've been reading and stuff. I'm very, very depressed. I actually had to read Folikuli because of G-Sex Pawn. So that's what I was reading last week. Alright.
I'm reading it right now. They're still talking about sex.
They always talk about sex.
Condom.
As if that's a problem.
It actually gets pretty annoying after a while, but I really like the characters in it, man. It's really a weird feeling. Like, I hated it, but I loved it.
Alright. Are you reading or watching anything else, Ben?
No, that's 3. I'm done.
What about After Story? Oh, right.
Shut up, Dave. Shouldn't be talking.
I'm probably going to watch that later.
I need to watch it too.
Alright. I guess it's my turn. I'm watching Setsukai Yakuen Domo, which is about this kid who joins this school's school council club. And basically,
he gets forced into joining, I thought.
What?
He gets forced into joining.
Well, yeah. But all they do in the show is constantly make sex jokes. And it's getting too overused and not funny. It's just a one-trick pony. And after,
kind of like what Green Green is, or is it different?
No, Green Green didn't do this at
all. Oh, really?
All right. These are jokes with punchlines.
Oh, okay.
Like,
that's actual like, jokes. it's not the guy doing this. It's the three girls in the yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. They say, they'll say something like, well, this piano is perfectly the perfect place for a couple to have, you know, sex on. And they just says it so nonchalantly that it's
like perfectly
normal. I actually
like it when the teacher makes sex jokes, though, because she's funny.
Well, it just seems like it's all they have their humor based on. It's just, you know, why can't they make something more creative than that?
What about the short jokes and the soccer ball joke? Don't forget about and the humping. Never mind. It was awesome.
But yeah, again, that was just one trick ponies. You know, you laughed for a couple bits, then it got old, and you moved on.
I guess.
I don't. And I'm also watching Mitsuda Moe, which I consider is one of the funnier summer shows of this season. It's about these three really unique girls who are in this middle school. One of them's obsessed with, like, movies. One of them's this princess-like character. One of them's into reading pornography, but...
One of them is the grudge girl.
Exactly.
Not into reading pornography.
She does read pornography, though.
Yeah, but she's the grudge girl.
Yes. But these three are, like, three sisters, and their dad is this big, fat, burly man who looks like a pervert. And basically what their deal is, like, just ruined this teacher's life by, like, doing all these horrible things to him. And, yeah, I consider it a pretty good show.
I thought the manga was actually funnier than the anime. I think that sort of comedy works way better in manga than it does.
I'm also reading... I just got back into reading, though. Onani Master Gurusawa, which Yes, it's about this guy who goes into this deserted girl's bathroom after school, and he jerks off to these girls unknown.
He fantasizes and jerks off.
And one day, one girl finds out about his secret. And it's like this manga is stylized in a Death Note kind of way. This main character...
I've heard of this.
It's like a parody of Death Note and Code Geass, kind of.
Because of that, I don't really like the main character. He's arrogant and too full of himself.
Just like Lelouch was.
No, more like
Lelouch was arrogant, man. I want to hear that.
Yeah, but he had good intentions.
Light wanted to make a better world.
By doing stuff that was
by
out of
killing
his
bad people.
Okay.
Well, it's all opinion anyway.
I think I read some of this online once.
Yeah.
Because it sounds really familiar.
I first heard it from Jam Radar, who made a post about it on the forums. And from there, I just kept reading it. Alright. That's what I'm reading. And let's move to the reviews.
Oh, that took forever.
Alright.
Let's go to Lurkst.
Alright, I'm going to review Kimi ni Todoke.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. And this anime is about this girl. Her name is Sawako. And she's, you know, not the most popular girl in school. A lot of people don't really like her that much because they think she, like, kind of resembles Sadako from The Ring. And she's very shy. She has, like, next to no friends at all. So it's pretty much about her trying to, you know, sort of become more confident in herself and get more friends and everything. Just trying to get through high school, really. And she, and the way she does that, she meets up with this guy named Kazuhaya. He, you know, he's like one guy in high school that everyone looks up to and everyone respects a lot, and he starts taking a liking to Sawako, so that kind of helps out a little bit, and she starts making more friends and everything like that. It's a really good anime. I recommend it to anyone. The only thing I did not like about this was, me personally, I just did not like the ending. I felt a little bit empty and a little bit like I just wanted more out of the ending than what it really gave me. And I was like, after I watched it, I was a little upset by it. Like, this should not have ended the way it did. But after I thought about it, it kind of made a little bit more sense to me. But I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. It's really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Just the ending just did not sit with me well.
I hear Kimi no Todoki is one of the better romance animes out there.
It is. It actually won a couple of awards for, you know, for the manga at least. But yeah, it's really good. I enjoyed it a lot.
All right. Let's move to Gabe. What are you reviewing this week, Gabe?
Okay. I'm going to do Angel Beats, if that's all right.
Yes.
No.
No, it's not all right. Get out.
Angel Beats is produced... It's created by the same people who made Clannad, Can Air, mainly Jun Maeda, whatever his name is. Basically, it's a story that revolves around this afterlife setting where after these kids die, they go to this purgatory kind of place where... Well, if I were to explain why, then I would spoil it. But at face value, they're in this purgatory place for God knows what reason. And they lived unfair lives, and they don't exactly want to cross over completely yet. So they fight back. And that's basically the premise of the story.
So you're saying all of the people are kind of in a...
Huh?
Like, all the people in that world are... What are they?
They're basically dead. I don't know if what you would call them, but they're
easier to call them dead.
Yeah, but they're practically humans in purgatory. In this purgatory world, you would consider the main characters humans, and anything else, they call them in the anime NPCs. Because they don't really do anything. They're just there to make it look like an actual setting.
Well, they do things, but like, they don't really have, what is it called?
Personality.
I don't want to take over your review, but like, all the NPCs basically just follow what you're supposed to do in that world. Like,
yeah, it's basically, they're living their own life, and these humans are just there, and they all ignore them, or try their best to ignore them. And that's basically the premise of the story. I'm going to say the plot is really good. It could be better. The reason being, it's way, way too short. The entire thing for what it is, for what Angel Beats is, the runtime is way too short. It's only 13 episodes. And there's so much potential and so much more to explain that they couldn't pull off. And everything became rushed. They didn't do a very good job of developing the characters, at least all of them. And who said something?
What was that thing about the second season there?
There might be rumored to come next year.
There is going to be a special episode
No, not a special, an actual second season.
I know, but there's also going to be a special episode released January.
But that's special's gonna be, it's not gonna fix the ending.
But it's not gonna fix that really rushed ending.
Yeah. It was 12 episodes. It was following a linear storyline. It made sense. And then in the 13th episode, it like 360. No, it didn't 360. It 180'd into another completely different direction.
It 360.
You're back where you started. It goes in a completely different direction, and it would have worked. It really would have, but they didn't. It was too short and it was too rushed.
Man, I thought the last two episodes were really rushed because
they were.
What happened to everyone was insanely fast. Sorry.
One thing I'm gonna say, they do for like I don't know, like five characters. they go to the what happened in their real life, you know, how they ended up dying and why they're in the purgatory. They only did that for like 5 people. And I think there's like 13 or 15 characters completely. And they didn't go into them. They just, I think for like one of them, they said, oh yeah, this happened, but they didn't show anything. I really would have liked to see for some specific characters, because, you know, characters like TK, he's pretty cool, but I know nothing about him. I just know that he blurts out random things in English.
Yeah, TK's cool. I wanted backstory on TK. What the hell happened?
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. But, that's what I'm saying. It was way, way too short. And if they didn't make a season 2, I would want it to be something like what they did with Suzumiya Haruhi season 2. It's the original episodes, and then they plug in new ones. I don't know if it would work, but I would want them to try. Or make a completely new one.
Like, well, they could do a remake, or like Hayate. Wait, did Hayate do that? I never actually watched the anime before.
Hayate, I don't even know what that is.
The Combat Butler, and Negima, too.
Like, oh,
things
yeah.
Like that, they could totally remake the series, kind
of. Yeah, I wish that Negima was one of the enemies where it's following the manga, like Naruto, and does Bleach do that?
That's
One Piece.
It's a bit too early to remake the series, isn't it?
I know, but it give it a few years. Like, Canon got remade, like, from 2002, I think, to 2006. So that wasn't that big. Quinad got...
No,
the movie was released for Quinad before the series came out.
The movie was released first.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's always possible for them to do this. Key Animation has done it before.
So, overall, Angel Beats is good, but it wasn't nearly as good as how good it could be. It could have been really good. It would actually, I don't know, I probably would have given it a 5 if it went the way I wanted it to. As it is, it did have an effect on me. Yeah, the ending. I won't say anything. But yeah, it's not as good as it could be. So my total score, I have to say 4 out of 5. Because it does very well, but it could be better.
There was actually a point when I thought Angel Beats was like the greatest, one of the best animes of all, like, ever made. But then,
it looks nice.
Just
I'll say
because
that.
Of the ending, and just because of like the final like few episodes was just so handled poorly. I thought, I don't know.
The ending was good. It was good, but they didn't develop good enough into it. So it.
There was so much room left for character development and story development.
But they did have some good heartwarming moments in that show.
Dude, they had some amazing comedy in that show too. Dude.
Yeah, the flying chair.
That shit was funny, man.
And then Dave sent me that damn picture.
You saw it too, Ben?
Did you say it was done by the same people who did Clannad?
Yeah.
No, well, the main writer, Jun Maeda.
What's Key Animation? They do all these Canon Air, Clannad, Angel Beats, and animes.
Yeah, but instead of like a joint project between all of Key, it's just Jun. I'm not really sure what happened with them. Like, I know there's a lot of people leaving and joining and not doing anything, but it's made by PA Works, not Key, I think.
Really?
Does it do what like Clannad did, where it's like there's a lot of serious moments in it, but at the same time, it does a lot of like silly, humorous stuff.
Yeah, it has Clannad's comedy.
Yeah, I think Angel Beats was funnier. I think Angel Beats was funnier and Clannad was more serious because of its second
Clannad
season.
I thought Clannad was funnier because of Fuko, but I thought
Clannad was funnier because of...
I thought Angel Beats had the funniest comedy.
Well, Vincito, you're only on the season. You're only in the first season, right?
Yeah.
When you get to season 2, you'll realize that it's much more serious in itself.
As long as there's just spontaneous Fuko moments, I will...
Oh, no, don't... Like I said, she's not completely gone.
Don't spoil it for me.
Damn!
Do stuff.
Yeah, but, like, What really made that series funny for me, speaking of Clannad, is Nagisa's dad. I love that dude. I thought he was hilarious.
He is.
Whenever he goes out shouting, like,
I love your bread. No, he's like, something like somebody says, oh, your bread is terrible. And then he shoves 20 in his mouth. And he's like, I love them.
Or when he's like about to reveal like his secret to, oh shit, I just forgot his name. God damn it.
Tomoya.
Yeah. And then he's like, so don't tell this to Nagisa or Ane. He's like, what's that? He's like, ah!
It was hilarious. But yeah, the second season becomes less comedy and it's much more serious. Yeah. You'll see what I mean.
That's what I've heard.
I thought the best parts of Clannad were the comedy, because I thought the melodrama could have been done better in Clannad. That's one of the reasons why I didn't get
like
it high enough.
Show to me, as I mentioned.
I'll tell you this. Lars.
No, you're good.
I'll tell you this, Clannad and Clannad After Story, Clannad After Story is the real Clannad. The first season is like, it just starts you.
Okay, good.
I've heard that it's like...
The best part about the first season was, for me, was the ending when, with the, you know, what happens.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was handled so well, and it was great.
Wait, for the first one, right? For the first one?
Yeah, for the first season.
Okay. That's how I felt with Strawberry Panic. I felt it was done very, very well.
I kind of felt bad in Strawberry Panic.
Okay, we went off on a Clannad tangent here.
Yeah.
Long story short, it has Clannad's comedy in it.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's hilarious.
All right. Let's move to King.
Okay, King, you want to say it?
Yeah. Actually, me and Vin are going to be doing a joint review.
Oh, yeah.
Something.
We surprised and you. Okay. Go ahead.
That... a manga called Ikora
by the guy who made Meteory Days and Destruction. I don't think Destruction is that well known though.
Dave hates Meteory Days.
He does?
I don't hate it. I just hate the main character.
Meteory Days.
Because he's a dick.
God, I gotta finish that.
I actually really like this mangaka, by the way, who writes Oi Destruction.
Yes. I like how he writes, and he has a really interesting art style as well.
Yeah. Right. It's basically about this guy who's Maeda Hachibe. Yeah. He has this, ever since he was really young, he has had this fetish for like his ideal woman have certain parts. Like, he has this like thing for legs that are the same size from the hip to her feet. He has this thing for cat-shaped transparent blue eyes, or bolt-trained breasts, or husky, and a girl with a husky but strong bass voice, and stuff like that. So basically, he ends up moving to Tokyo in order to attend an academy where he can supposedly meet girls with his favorite parts, because he wants to search for his ideal woman. So he finds himself living in the dorm room of women... of like four girls who have certain parts that he likes, which is weird. It's because like the male dorm got burned down or something. Is that what happened, King?
Yeah, it got burned down.
So he ends up actually having to stay in the girls' dorm because he didn't have anywhere else to live. And he has like a teacher who has his favorite legs, a girl who has like his favorite eyes, another girl who has his favorite breasts, and another girl who has his favorite voice. Along the way, he meets other characters that have, like, other, more of his favorite parts in them, and it becomes, like, a giant, like, love, I wouldn't call it, like, a love pentagon or any polygon, but it's, like, a love, it's a big harem, it's a giant harem, but, like, a lot of people in it, it's pretty awesome. He also has this, like, mode where he goes into superhuman mode where he has this, like, unbelievable strength whenever he's trying to protect one of the women that has one of his parts. Which is pretty awesome.
The characters inside the manga, I have to say, they are pretty good. He fleshes them out really well. You get to know the backstory of each character like you should. You see their reasons behind why. Basically, eventually, they all start out pretty much hating the guy, basically. Like, they can't stand him. You know,
I didn't think Ari started out hating him, though.
Well, not really. But it's a guy inside the girl's dorm, so it's going to be, you know, they're a little awkward. So a lot of them don't see eye to eye with him. But he tries to, you know, prove that he's worth their time and stuff. But for some reason, it always seems to backfire in front of his face. So it usually makes them, you know, angry at him or, you know.
He's a very unlucky guy. But, like, yeah, most of the comedy is based around his unluckiness, which is usually very funny.
And then as you keep on going down the storyline, you find out that he's really, you know, he's interested in all of them because they all have his favorite parts. But he actually only likes really one of them, which is the main girl, which has his idea eyes, basically. Then it becomes a love triangle when her ex-boyfriend comes back in to play, so it becomes more of a
shot. I don't think he had a shot.
It becomes more of a straight-lined romance then, but with still the harem-y
With some side. Obstacles, of course.
The characters are all really...
Yeah, the character... I don't know. It's done... I thought the best part of it, though, I actually really laughed pretty hard. It's not... I didn't laugh as much as I, like, maybe during Yotsuba or something, but, like, I thought it was really funny, especially that the scene with the, every time he's trying to, he has this, like, a lot of running jokes, like, he sometimes tries to record Kirino, who's the girl with his favorite voice, he tries to record her saying, weird, erotic, phrases, but out of context, but he can put them into context, and, like, I don't know, just for his own listening pleasure later on. So he always has this, like, tape recorder, and there was, like, one really hilarious scene where he's trying to get her to say something, and it involves a vending machine, and it's like, one of the funniest moments, I thought, in the entire manga. I laughed really hard after reading it. But, like, yeah, it's just sometimes... But after a while, the running jokes can get a little, like, I don't know, stale? I don't know. Did you feel that way, King, when you were reading it?
Yeah, kind of. They sometimes use a lot of the same jokes over, but they're still funny.
Yeah, like the belly dancing for the girl with the porcelain waist, that kind of got a little awkward after a while, like just randomly belly dancing every now and then. But other than that, I thought it was hilarious. The comedy was done really well. Was it like the Midori Days, the comedy? Or did that not have
Midori Days really funny? They didn't have a lot of running jokes in Midori Days since, you know, it was basically just him and Midori.
Oi Destruction had that too, the running jokes with the him being so cute and stuff. The father had things like that. So I've seen that in his other works. But what do you think about the relationships, kind of? Like,
well, basically, you know, as the story goes on, all the girls start liking him more, and, you know, things become awkward between them and stuff like that. But the relationship seemed pretty good.
I thought Kirino's was very shallow, though, because, like, it felt kind of spontaneous. I mean, they didn't really spend that much time together. And
I really liked Kirino's.
I liked his character, too, but, you know.
Oh, yeah, I guess it's because I liked her character more.
What about Haiji?
Really, it was between him, the main girl, and the girl with the big breasts, of course.
What about the buttocks guy, the bum guy?
Oh. Yeah, it's funny because one of his idea parts becomes, basically, it's stuck on a guy. So, you know, he doesn't want to cross over to that side, but he has his perfect butt, so it's kind of funny.
Well, I think that's, like, the best parts of the manga is when he finds the ideal, when he finds his ideal butt, and all of a sudden he realizes that it's attached to a guy. It's just awkward and on with every joke having to do with that. I also thought the relationship with his teacher, though, was kind of weird, too. I mean, that didn't really work out the way I thought it would. With the
how do you think it was?
Well, there was that thing with the, you know, stepping on, but, you know, other than that.
Oh, that was funny too.
That was kind of awkward. What do you think about, what did you think was bad about it, though? Like, anything kind of not up to par about it? or whatever?
Some of the side characters, they didn't get fleshed out a lot because of that, you know. What, like, say, for instance, the main girl's ex-boyfriend. He was such a bad character.
He was a terrible character. They didn't... I mean, I think it was just because of what they gave us with him was terrible, like...
But since we thought he was a bad character, does that mean that the guy did his job in making him, you know, someone we're supposed to hate?
Well, and, it's kind of like the Gendo effect with... Where you kind of are meant to not like this character. Like, he does some really fucked up shit in the past, and they don't show you anything else, almost nothing else besides that fucked up shit, which makes me think that this guy is supposed to be the antagonist of this story. You know, the rival, kind of, so.
But he wasn't in it for a long time. He was actually not even in but a few chapters.
Well, every time he was in it, I fucking hated him. I wanted him to just disappear out of the manga entirely. Other than that, I thought that the girl with his favorite lips wasn't, you know, didn't have enough time. I really liked her, and I wanted her to be in it more.
Or the girl with his favorite ears.
Yeah, or the one big twist with the other, you know, the person who also likes favorite parts with the hands thing. I don't know if you remember that, but yeah.
Yeah, I remember that part. Don't want to get into too many spoilers, though.
Yeah, that's all I gotta say though about it.
Yeah, so because of the characters and how I really like them, I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 5.
I'm gonna give it a 4.5 out of 5. Wait, can I do that?
Go ahead.
You just did.
I'm pretty sure I can. I'm gonna give it a 4.5 out of 5.
This week I am reviewing Samurai Champloo, and what Samurai Champloo is about is there's this young girl named Fu who meets these two samurais named Jin and Mugen. And what they're doing most of the series is traveling together to find this samurai who smells of sunflowers. And basically how the first episode starts out is that the two samurais are just about to get executed by this council. So already I'm like being captivated by what's going on, because you don't really know what's happening at the moment. And then the episode restarts to what happened earlier that day and how it all starts. And basically,
I think that's a common directing tool used.
Yeah.
Samurai Champloo has
in medias res.
Samurai Champloo has a unique style to it. It's not the usual thing you see in an anime. It's got this hip hop look to it. It's very stylized, I think. The artwork is very clean, it's smooth, and a lot of is that you hear?
What I find funny is that every time one of them goes and curses or something, like a hip hop record scratch, you know, goes in, so all you hear is this crap. It's pretty hilarious.
I like when they do that, when they like switch scenes, like cutting from one scene to another. It does like a sort of like a scratch on the turntable.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This
turntable censoring their words.
I have a copy that doesn't do that, but no. I know what he's talking about because they did.
Because I watched this on Hulu, and you get the uncensored version on Hulu. Yes. All
right. Well, you should just pick. Well, you have to see. Just watch one episode of it censored, and
I was looking at some artwork for it. It looks very, I don't know if the word is street, but it looks very like, you know, out.
Yeah, it's very stylized like that.
Very edgy.
Very ghetto kind of. Yeah, it has like something to do with the graffiti and hip hop and all that kind of stuff. The theme itself has hip hop music.
And there's a whole episode revolved around graffiti.
Yeah.
I remember that. The anime too.
And, the fights are, like, really clean. You get to see, like, most of the movements that are made as they're, like, clashing swords together. They don't really take shortcuts. It's very detailed, and you get to see the fights fleshed out completely. I thought that's very neat, and you have to, like, I keep thinking to myself, like, how much time did they take them to fully animate that stuff? Because it looks...
I need what? To trade you an anime for Shigurui so you can compare.
Not the time, bro.
Dude, no, you need to, like, the way you're talking about Samurai Champloo, I keep thinking, like, Shigurui has, like, almost the same positive notes you're talking about.
So. That, really graphic samurai one
It has a lot of sex and organs and brains and stuff, but, you know, nothing you can't handle, bro.
Alright, okay, I'll give it a watch.
Does Samurai Champloo have any nudity in it? I don't remember.
Not really. You'll see, like, boobies once or twice, but they're, like, in arts kind of style.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. But that's it.
There's, like, one brothel episode. That's
yeah. I remember that now. There is a lot of, like, them visiting, like, prostitutes and stuff in that anime, though.
Yeah, yeah. That happens, but that, you know, makes sense in that period of time. There are geishas, and there are people
who... Yeah, that's what I was looking for, geishas. Sorry.
Yeah. What I like about Samurai Champloo is that it doesn't take itself seriously. It's kind of ridiculous at some moments, but it's very interesting how they do that. I like the characters, Jin and Mugen. They're two polar opposite characters, but they get along so well. They have this amazing... interesting chemistry. Mugen's kind of like this energetic, erratic samurai who kind of does things on his own. He doesn't like to be told what to do. Jin's this intellectual samurai. He does things with reason, and he's a very cool samurai. He's just one of the better moments of that anime.
Every time you say that, I keep thinking Jin and Ragna from...
Like, Jin more between the two of them. Just because of his... Jin. I'm talking about Samurai Champloo, not BlazBlue.
Good, because like, Jin is a wuss in BlazBlue.
That is true. But, like, Jin and Samurai Champloo, I like him more between the two of them, just because he's a very calm, collective person, but when he needs to be, he can be, like, an ultra super, like, he can just be a real badass in a sense of a samurai.
I know just what like, you mean.
Within an instant.
Yeah, but I think that's what is admirable about those characters, is that you get to see a side of them that you usually wouldn't see before.
Right.
I watched Samurai Champloo with dubs, which I think is really well done. Mugen is voiced by the very own and special influence.
You know, this is kind of rare, Dave. I don't hear you watching much anime in dub.
Yeah, I know. I'm not.
The dubs were really good.
Dubs and Samurai Champloo was good.
Well, most of whenever I think Samurai Champloo, I always group together with like Rurouni Kenshin, Outlaw Star, Trigun, and all that jazz. Manly anime, I guess, and they always have decent dub.
Well, what I like about Samurai Champloo's dub is that they really put things into emotion. Mugen's VA especially is voiced by Steve Bloom, who does like amazing.
What?
Yes.
No
yes.
way.
Yeah, Steve Bloom.
I have to watch this now because it has Steve Bloom in it.
And he really gets into character because it's just perfectly how you can imagine him to be voiced like, and even especially Jin. I don't know about Fu. I don't really care about her, but she's okay. She's tolerable.
Yeah, Fu's kind of not one of the greatest female leads in anime.
Yeah, I mean, I noticed that she's always the one. She's always the damsel in distress most of the time, and it's always up to Mugen and Jin to save her. Those episodes, and it's kind of a cliche, but. That's fine. It's entertaining. What I don't like about the series is that it does have a few cliches. Like, at one point, Fu's kidnapped by this ugly guy, but he's kind of this real sweethearted guy, and she's kind to him, so he turns good, and... That cliches like that kind of make me feel awkward about watching it. There's no... You get a small background.
What was the cliche in that, though?
Well, I mean, like, he's this big, ugly guy who turns bad.
Is he really good?
Well, he's really good inside, but he's just bad because he's expected to be bad because he has this ugly face on and he's been tortured
like
his life.
Green Mile?
It just happens for... Huh?
Green Mile?
No. He's used as his, like, bodyguard for this evil force. It only happens for a single episode. Not a really significant character, but...
Sounds like a Ryuji character, kind of.
Yeah, but what's disappointing in Samurai Champloo is that you don't get a strong background on Mugen and Jin, which I think are two of the most interesting characters in that series. And you only get a small glimpse of what's happened in their lives. And it's really interesting because you learn some pretty shocking things about them when it gets to that point in the series.
Yeah.
The director of the series was Shinichiro Watanabe, who also directed Cowboy Bebop, which I can see as like similar art styles. Also,
art styles.
Well, I mean, similar, uh-huh. You know.
Is Champloo episodic? Like, or does it have like a story that goes?
They both have unique styles. Maybe I should have seen this better. They both have unique styles because Cowboy Bebop has this jazzy kind of thing going on, you know, especially the opening. And I don't know about Macross Plus, but he did that too. And yeah, it's a real shame that the producer of the Samurai Champloo themes, Yujabes, has died earlier this year. He was young at the time, but I really liked the music in that series. It just kept me going. It kept me pumped when those fights have happened.
It's really rare for an anime to have really good music.
Yeah.
Well, not really, but it really sets it apart from a lot of things. Because music is a big thing sometimes. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Samurai Champloo is one of those unique, entertaining animes that I think a lot of people would enjoy. So I'll give it 4 stars out of 5.
Stars, huh? Cool.
4 katanas out of 5.
Katanas.
Yeah.
Shiny golden fingered katanas.
Why not?
Okay. Sure.
This has been the second episode of Anime Afterlife Podcast. Thank you for listening. Tune in next week.